Open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. Just want to read a few verses of scripture here this morning, beginning in verse 12 of Colossians 1. This will be our text. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now I'll take our text. The title of the message is found here in verse 12, giving thanks. Giving thanks unto the Father. Now, God's people, above all the people on the earth, we should be thankful people, thankful for all of his blessings towards us. David said in Psalm 79:13, he said, "So we thy people and the sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." We need to be thankful, thankful people. Paul, in his first epistle to the Thessalonians, said, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. In everything give thanks. And then in 2 Corinthians 2, we read, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And then again, Paul said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We could read on and on through the scriptures. Psalm 92, verse 1, David said, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's honest. It's pleasant. It's profitable. It's a good thing. And we give thanks and praise God for who he is and that which he's done for his people, that which he's done for his sheep. And here in our text, we find five reasons to give thanks. Now, obviously, the scriptures are not limited to five reasons to give thanks. But for the text and sake of time, we'll leave it at that for this morning, because we could. That's what glory will be, singing praise and giving thanks to Almighty God. We don't have enough. That's why it has to be eternity, doesn't it? We don't have enough time to give thanks to Him for what He's done. But let's look at this passage of Scripture together this morning. First, we read, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. You see that? The Father made us meet. He made us fit. This isn't something we did. God the Father made us fit. He made us qualified by that which he's done for us, to us, and in us. God chose us in Christ. God chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. He made us fit. He made us fit having justified us by the righteousness of Christ. In Romans 3:24, we read, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made us fit having forgiven us our sins. We read, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Almighty God has made us fit having cleansed us from our sin, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sin in his own blood. He's made us fit, having regenerated us by the Holy Spirit. Paul, writing to Titus, he said, "But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost." God the Father made us fit, made us meet, made us qualified. He's made us perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, give thanks unto the Father which has made us meet. And then we read he's made us partakers. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Read the end of verse 12 there. Which hath made us meet be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I spent a little time just thinking about an inheritance. When I think of an inheritance, I think in earthly terms of an inheritance. And I'm fairly confident in this. I think someday my dad will leave me an inheritance. But my friends, our inheritance, the inheritance we need to be taken up with is the inheritance of God. That which he's left. Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Our inheritance is from God the Father. Our inheritance, again, in earthly terms, whatever it might be, it'll be left for me, and I've got two brothers. I'm fairly confident it'll be divided up among the three of us. But Paul, speaking to the church of Ephesus, he said, "Brethren, I commend you to God. I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." This inheritance, it's for us. It's for our brethren, isn't it? But God's inheritance, it's for the sanctified, those that have been set apart, those that have been made holy. Here's another thought. My inheritance. I contribute nothing to my own inheritance. We were out to visit with my mom and dad over the weekend, and I thought, I didn't do this, but I thought, I just wondered what my dad's reaction would be if I reached in my pocket and pulled out $20 and said, "Dad, I'd like to contribute this to my inheritance." Wouldn't that be foolish? I may do that sometime just to see what kind of reaction. He may just take it. I don't know. But the point being this, we contribute nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the thought of contributing anything to our own inheritance, it's just utter foolishness. Turn over to Deuteronomy 6. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10 of Deuteronomy 6. "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not." House is full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not. You see that? That That inheritance, all they did was receive it. All they had to do was receive it. They didn't go out and dig those wells. They didn't go out and build those homes. God provided it for them. God gave it to them. We contribute nothing. Nothing to our own inheritance. I think it was Brother Henry that said this. He said, rest assured, your mansion in glory will not be built with any material you sent up. Our inheritance is of our Father. We contribute nothing to it. Our earthly inheritance is at best temporary. Temporary. In fact, it's possible man may not even receive an earthly inheritance. Bills, taxes, any number of things will quickly absorb any inheritance that might be left behind. I've seen conflicts in families. I've seen arguments and disagreements. People can lose their earthly inheritance, but not the inheritance of the saints. Turn to 1 Peter 1. Beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Who are these people? Those who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then turn with me to another scripture, Revelation 21. Beginning with verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He'll dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words, they're true and faithful. He said, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God. He'll be my son. He'll be my son. Our inheritance, it's not of this world. It's not a bunch of stuff. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's to dwell with Christ in the presence of God. And it's for his saints, those who are set apart. It's the inheritance, that's what we read in that, it's the inheritance of the saints, of his people. Now back to Colossians 1. We're to give thanks. We're to give thanks to the Father. Give thanks to the Father, he that has made us meet, he that's made us fit, made us qualified, he that's made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints. And look at verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness. Satan's called the ruler of darkness. Now this darkness, it points to our sin. It points to what we are by nature. Dead in trespasses and sin. And listen, by nature, we love darkness. We love darkness. As a kid, I was scared of the dark. But I can tell you this, by nature, we love darkness. Men love darkness. Our sin, from the sole of our foot to the top of our head, no soundness in it. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed up. They've not been bound up. They've not been mollified with ointment. Over in John 3:19, our Lord said, this is condemnation. Light is entered into the world. Light is come into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is our light, he come into the world, and men love darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Because of our sinfulness. And the best we have, the best we can come up with, Isaiah says, the best we have to offer is filthy rags. Filthy rags in the sight of God. And if I'm left to myself, if I'm dependent upon my own free will, as men say, look at the result. Light is come into the world, but men prefer darkness. They'll choose darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Back in the Old Testament, God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. Over and over and over again, we read that they desired to stay in bondage. The children of Israel preferred to stay in bondage. They said there at the Red Sea, there when they were backed up against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his army are approaching, they said to Moses, isn't this what we told you when we were in Egypt? Saying, leave us alone. Leave us alone that we might serve the Egyptians. We'd been better off doing that than dying in the wilderness. Isn't that what we told you back in? Just leave us alone. And that's a picture of us and our bondage to sin. That's a picture of us and our desire. Leave us in bondage. And if he leaves us to ourselves, that's where we'll stay. By nature, we'll choose darkness. I'll choose bondage. I'll choose sin. But listen to verse 13 of our text. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. I can't deliver myself. You can't deliver me. But he has. You see that? He can and he has. He hath delivered us. He hath rescued us. He made us willing. He makes us willing in the day of his power. Fourth, he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He plucked us out of the fire. David said it this way. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the deep miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. From the power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 2. Verse 14. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. He put us in Christ. Put us in a new place. He gave us a new nature. Gave us a new heart. Took that old stony heart and gave us a heart of flesh. From sin and darkness, He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The Son of His love. God spoke from heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him." And listen, doesn't say He wants to. Doesn't say He tried to. Doesn't say He did all He can and left the rest up to you. I don't know where that comes from. God's Word said, He hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's done it. And then look at verse 14 of our text, back to Colossians 1. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He's made us meet. He's made us fit. He's made us qualified. He's made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And here in verse 15, we read, He's redeemed us through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. Deliverance out of the hands of the enemy. God redeemed us and delivered us from our sin. We've been delivered from the punishment of sin. We've been delivered from the bondage of the law. He redeemed us through His blood. We were lost, and He bought us back. He paid the redemption price. Only He could. Only He could. In Job 33, we read, delivering from going down to the pit, I found a ransom. Christ the Redeemer. The sins of His people. Our sins were laid on Him. He bore our sins. He bore our sins in His body. On the tree. He was made sin for us. And in return, we're made the very righteousness of God. The righteousness of God in Him. Only in Christ. The sentence of the law's condemnation. The wages of sin is death. And He stood in our room instead. And satisfaction. God was satisfied. Satisfaction was made by Him for the sins of His people. He redeemed us. He redeemed us through His blood. Not by the blood of bulls and goats. Not by me shedding my blood or you shedding your blood. But the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or blemish, through His blood. No other blood will do. And we have the forgiveness of sin. He's forgiven us our sin. Original sin, actual sin, sins past, sins present. He put them away. God's Word said, their sins and iniquities shall I remember no more. He's put them away, hadn't He? He put them away. Now, in closing, consider this. What should our attitude be? One of thanksgiving. Oh, we have so much. And how quickly, just like those children of Israel, it's easy to find fault with them, but boy, the more I read of them, the more I see of myself, isn't it? Huh? We've much to be thankful for. He's made us meet. He's made us qualified. He's made us meet. He's made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's redeemed us. He's forgiven us our sins. Second, consider the certainty of it. Look at our text there. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath, you see that, hath made us meet. hath made us meet to be partakers, hath made us meet the inheritance of the saints, who hath delivered us, in whom we have redemption. There's nothing iffy about that, is there? That's certain. That's, write that down. That's right there. He hath done these things. And then thirdly, who did these things? Who gets the glory in this matter? God in Christ, giving thanks unto the Father. Great things he's done, hadn't he? Turn with me to one more scripture. Psalm 100. Kind of feel like this just kind of sums it up. Psalm 100, look at verses 3 through 5. Know ye that the Lord, he's God. It's he that made us, not we ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him. And bless his name. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. All right. Caleb, you come lead us in a song.